Coming to you from the ancestral territory of the Anishinaabe and the area inhabited by the Haudenosaunee and the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, this is Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters examines the impacts we have on the environment and the natural world around us, seeking solutions, reporting on news and events, presenting positive alternatives, and highlighting the steps others are taking. We hope to inspire you to join the many others who are working to preserve and protect a healthy planet.
But one of the things that I find with Canadian drivers, because we live in a big country and we love the road trip, we're very obsessed with the one-off trip. And we, in fact, buy vehicles based on a one-off trip. And if I honestly tell you how many times that I've been interviewed where they say, what are you going to do to drive across Canada? And I'm like, well, the good thing is I am never going to drive across Canada, so it's not a problem. You know, it's a thing that almost nobody does. Or you might do it once in your life. So why would you buy a car for a one-time trip? So we have to try to explain to people, choose a car for the 99%. And if once a year you go to Algonquin or you go to Montreal or you go to Maine or whatever your once a year thing is, take a different car. Don't let that be the reason that you're not going to choose the car that's going to save you a pile of money 99% of the time. And, you know, you could rent 100 times and still be in the money with an electric car. So just to kind of stop fixating on the one-off trip. This is the thing that we find really Canadians do.
That's Kara Clerman, President and CEO of Plug and Drive. Plug and Drive is a nonprofit organization committed to accelerating the adoption of electric vehicles in order to maximize their environmental and economic benefits. Since 2011, Plug and Drive has established itself as a leader in the electric vehicle industry, a trusted and unbiased source of information on electric cars, charging stations, and the electricity sector. Earth Matters caught up with Kara as she was speaking to an event hosted by the McMaster Center for Climate Change. The McMaster Center for Climate Change is a multidisciplinary program working on climate change research at McMaster University with international collaboration. The center also enhances public outreach through seminars in plain language while providing scientific input to academic and public debates on environmental and climate change issues. In tonight's presentation, you gave us some figures. I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you remember how many EV cars are sold in Ontario and Canada and the world?
Yeah, approximately. So around, we've got about 40,000 in Ontario. That includes plug-in hybrid and full electrics, but not hybrid. Mm-hmm. So that's the total in Ontario. We're at about 142,000 Canada-wide, and about 5.1 million around the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's encouraging. What countries are at the lead of the pack for that?
Well, actually, Norway is at the very top mm-hmm. of the heap. They're doing amazing things. They've got more than 50% of their new car sales are electric. Mm-hmm. And then I'd say after that, it's probably China mm-hmm. Doing really well in certain parts of the country. And then it would be California, where they have ZEV mandate and very good rebates and all kinds of other EV-friendly policies that make it a good place mm-hmm. to adopt.
Now, is your organization just based in Ontario or is it Canada-wide?
We're actually Canada-wide. I mean, our physical EV Discovery Center is here in Ontario, and it's the only one right now. But we do shows in many other provinces. We just came off a show in Calgary, and we're going back there soon. We're doing some work in BC. We've done lots of stuff in the Maritimes. And so we are national, although I'd say the bulk of our work is here in Ontario.
And you had some goals, too, that you were hoping to accomplish by 2020, which
yeah.
is now.
Yeah.
Where are we on that?
Well, you know, we'd love to say we're going to hit that 5% of new car sales by 2020. In Ontario, it looks pretty difficult to get there.
A lot would have to happen this year. I don't think it's likely. But you know what? It won't be too far off. It won't be too far off. We'll be there in a few years' time instead. Other parts of the country, though, are more than past it. You know, so we're seeing huge adoption in BC and in Quebec, which, of course, shows you that those incentives really do work.
So give me an idea what those incentives used to be and what they are now.
Right. So in Ontario, we had a $14,000 incentive, which was probably the most generous anywhere, and it really was making a difference. And then we lost those incentives when the Ford government was elected. But BC and Quebec have provincial incentives, I think. I'm not 100% sure I'm going to get the numbers right, but I think Quebec's is about $8,000 and BC's is $4,000, I think. And those are layered on top of the federal rebate. So now in Quebec, for example, you get $5,000 plus $8,000, so $13,000. So, and they still have incentives in those two provinces on home chargers as well. So all in all, you're really, you know, that's why those provinces are seeing the highest numbers.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the barriers for buying an electric vehicle?
So one of the biggest barriers we're finding is really price. People believe EVs to be too expensive, and although they are a bit more expensive, so there's truth to that, they are a bit more expensive to the equivalent gas car, but the total cost of ownership, you know, your annual cost on fuel and maintenance is much, much lower in electric cars. So if you did the math 5 to 6 years out, you'd see even at today's prices, there's a good business case for an electric car. But what our challenge is try to persuade people to pay now to save later. Mm-hmm. Always a challenge.
And the savings on the gas and the maintenance, that's a benefit as well?
It's a significant benefit. So you're going to save on average about $2,000 a year. And so even if the vehicle is $5,000, $6,000 more than an equivalent gas car, I mean, you've made that back in 3 years or so. So really, in my view, there is a good case for it now, but we have to help people understand that.
How critical is the range anxiety? That seemed to be the thing that everybody was talking about 5, 6 years ago.
True. I think range anxiety was a bigger thing when EVs first came out. Well, those vehicles had shorter range and there was very little public infrastructure out there. Now things have changed quite a bit. You've got a lot of brands of vehicle available with 400 plus kilometers of range. And then you also have an explosion of public infrastructure. So although range anxiety is still a bit of a concern people have, it's not nearly as much as it used to be. And I saw a funny comment recently that the best thing to do to get rid of range anxiety is to buy an electric car, because as soon as you have the car, you realize you really never needed to have that range anxiety.
Because most people drive 40, 50 kilometers.
Exactly. Most of us are driving a short haul. We just go home, we plug in, and we never really have to worry about it.
Now, you mentioned the explosion of EV chargers. What about the rollout of EV models and makes? Where are we at there?
Well, right now in Canada, we're at about 40 makes and models. That's plug-in hybrid and full electrics. And we're seeing a huge increase with a number of brands committing to electrify almost every make and model that they make. So over the next couple of years, we're going to go from 40 to, you know, 200 plus models, which also will give us a bigger range of price points, bigger range of styles, which, of course, there still is a style issue. People, you know, like the car they like. And so, and people are also very brand loyal. And so a lot of people are waiting. Well, I'm waiting for this Toyota, or I'm waiting for, you know, that Volkswagen. And so, all these factors will help.
Now, at Plug and Drive, your headquarters in Toronto,
yes.
What do you offer there? What can people come and see?
Right. So we like to say one-stop shop, and sort of imagine a science center meets car showroom. We have all kinds of fun, interactive displays and tools to help you learn all about the environmental and economic benefits of EVs. And then we have all the makes and models of vehicle available to test drive at the center. So you can really spend some time. And I think one of the things people like the best is there's no pressure to buy anything. You can just come, learn, stay all day if you want, and try all the cars we have if you like. And we hope by the time that you finish that experience that you will have made the commitment the next car will be electric.
Now, you made note of the presentation that some of the dealers don't have vehicles or they're actually referring them to plug and drive.
Right, right. Well, what we're finding right now is there's a little bit of a shortage of supply in certain brands. Not every brand has this problem, but certain brands are short and they're waiting for their next model year. And in that case, what they have been doing is sending their customers over to plug and drive for the test drive. And then if the person likes it, they can come back to the dealer and order it. So it helps the dealer make a sale even when they don't have the car on the lot.
And that helps your overall goal.
That's right. That's right.
What about other opportunities for electric vehicles, not just cars?
Oh, there's so much opportunity in electrification. We're seeing the electrification of transit, of rail, of boats, even airplanes. There's small commuter planes in BC now that are running some electric in their fleet. You're going to see it in float planes. And so, you know, it won't be long before this will be the norm and we're going to just expect it to be electric and quiet and all that. So yeah, lots of opportunity in the mass transit area.
You mentioned school buses as well.
Yes, school buses is a huge opportunity because, of course, they drive a short haul, they stop overnight and midday, and so you have charging opportunity and you have a great health benefit because kids are sitting in that school bus and a lot of those fumes actually enter the bus. And I think if a lot of parents knew what their kids were breathing, they would really want their kids on an electric school bus.
Okay. And something that many people haven't thought about, used electric vehicles. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, we meet so many people who come in and say, yeah, I just love the idea of an electric car, but they're just too expensive. I can't afford it. And they don't think of used. And I think that's because they're new and people kind of don't think they're ready for the used market yet. But what we're finding is actually there is quite a bit available in the used market. EVs have been on the market since 2011. And so there's quite a lot, you know, in the 2014, 15, 16 ballpark that came off lease, for example. We're even seeing 2017 Bolts coming off lease. So actually a lot more available than people think and actually at really good prices.
And you've got an incentive, too.
Right. So Plug and Drive is offering an incentive that's being funded by a private philanthropist. And that incentive is $1,000 off a used EV. And then if you scrap a gas car and buy a used EV, you get $2,000.
At the top, you mentioned something very interesting, that peak power, the electricity that's generated in an average day, tends to go down, obviously, at night, but there's still a surplus of power. So how can EVs help with that situation?
So you can think about the electricity grid as a big wave where, you know, of course, you know, as the day goes on, we're using more and more, and then dinner time, we're all got everything turned on. And then as we get to the night, the demand for electricity drops way, way down. Well, if you think of nuclear power and hydroelectric power, we don't turn those off at night. So even though we're not using it, it's there. And so that's what we call surplus baseload. And that is available most every night in Ontario. And right now we dump it into New York State or into Quebec at a loss, where if people were plugging their cars in at night, we could actually use up that surplus and actually even the use of electricity across the day, which theoretically, if you think about using an asset 24/7 instead of just using it part of the time, it's a more efficient use of those electricity plants, and it should actually reduce electricity prices for everyone.
And the storage power of EVs, can they be used to put power back onto the grid?
Well, this is sort of an up-and-coming area, vehicle-to-grid or vehicle-to-home or building. And what we're seeing is there are cars coming out with the capability of sending the power bidirectionally, both into the car and out of the car into the house or building. And so this is an area of very popular research area right now, a number of pilot projects going on around Ontario. I think we will start to see utilities offer programs where you can offer your battery back into the grid for a price, and it will make EVs even more economical than they are now.
Finally, how did you get into this field?
It's a good question. So I come from the electricity sector. I was working at Ontario Power Generation. And I was the VP of Sustainable Development. And in that role, you're always looking for ways that the electricity company can do something to improve its environmental footprint. And I heard about these cars coming out, and we had just been going off coal. So suddenly we had this very clean electricity available on the grid. And I thought, wow, like if we could just get people to plug in these cars at night, we've got a winner. And that's sort of what twigged my interest in it. And then I just thought, this is really going to be something. And actually, I pitched the CEO to say that he should pay me to leave, because I could then get other companies to help fund an EV project rather than just OPG paying for it. And to my great surprise, he said okay. So that was my departure.
All right. Thank you very much, Kara.
My pleasure.
Next is Altaf Arain, professor at the School of Geography and Earth Sciences and the McMaster Center for Climate Change director, to explain a bit more about the unique program.
So the goal of our center is to promote education, community outreach, and most importantly, the research. So we have, at McMaster University, we have many interdisciplinary research projects going on. They focus on many aspects of the climate, water, carbon cycle, electric vehicles, pollution. But there was a disconnect between these research projects and what the community know about it, and what our high school students are learning, and our community's knowledge and engagement. So the center was created to bridge this gap, where we take our research and also engage with the community. So for that purpose, we have a seminar series where we conduct two seminars per year. They are publicly open seminars on the current topics. For example, today is electric vehicle, electric mobility, and in the past we have done on the water. And so in the current topic, apart from that, we have academic regular research seminars that we do at our campus during the daytime for students, researchers, and all the university community. We do high school outreach, where our graduate students go to different high school in Hamilton, Burlington area. We cover 10 schools, are depending on the year, 8-10 schools where our students go and engage with high school students, inform them about environmental issues, so that we can cover many more students. In the past, we have also brought the high school kids to the campus, but in this way, we can be more engaged. We have high school weather network, where we have the real-time data that students can use in their classrooms and in their education, and the community can see the local weather data. And apart from that, our students engage with different local events and activities. We also have a student chapter that works and engage together with the people.
Is this run by McMaster, your professor at McMaster? Is it run by the faculty, or is it run by students, or who is behind the organization?
Our main funding comes from the university. For the public engagement is the university and some organization. For example, in the past, our funding came also RBC Foundation. This is one example. For the research work, these are our grants that are funded from different sources. Tri-Council is one example. The students, many students are volunteer that are passionate about it, and they help and they engage. So that's the kind of sources of funding.
And who attended tonight? It looked like general public.
Yes, because this was this seminar was geared towards the general public. So there were more people here, but this audience is a mixed audience from a variety of backgrounds. You can judge from the questions they were and asking, very informed, very good questions. There were also students, but the seminars that we do academic at the campus during the daytime, there are more students.
Up next is Kara Clerman talking more about the Plug and Drive Discovery Center. The Electric Vehicle Discovery Center is the first facility of its kind in the world, dedicated to providing a hands-on learning environment for electric vehicles. At the Discovery Center, visitors can discover the environmental and economic benefits of electric transportation, learn about charging, and take test drives in the latest EV makes and models from leading manufacturers in a sales-free, no-pressure environment.
So, again, this is the Discovery Center. Please come. We love visitors, and we especially love groups. So, you know, we've got 16 different cars on display and available to drive. Every model that you want to try, sorry, except Tesla, we don't have one to try there, but we're working on it. So lots of fun. A lot of people treat it like a trip to the science center. They come for the day, they bring the kids, they try all the cars, they play all our interactive screens, come on a Saturday. This would just give you an idea of our event space. We have a really cool place for meetings. If your company wants to have a meeting and then you want to do test drives on the break, super fun venue. So, the center, how's it been working out? Well, we'll talk a bit honestly about what's happened since the Ford government came and how we've solved it. But the success of the center has been the, like, no pressure, no sales. And what we have found is people love that. They love to come and not have any salesperson there, and they're not there to be sold. They can just try the cars, they stay a long time, they don't feel any pressure. So that has been a big hit with the customers. Having the event venue has turned out to be a really great thing. When we set it up, we weren't sure about that. It turned out to be really great because it brings in corporate groups, it brings in maybe people who wouldn't have come on their own. People that their company told them to come, so they came, but they didn't necessarily, wouldn't have walked in. So that brings like a different crowd that, you know, to get them started on it. And the thing that has been the most surprising, I think you'll find it surprising, so there's always surprises when you do something that nobody's done before. We thought, okay, we'll set this thing up, and we'll have, you know, the people come, and we'll do all the education, and we'll give them the test drive, and then we'll refer them back to the automaker, and hopefully they'll go and buy the car, and we'll track them and see what happens. And that has been happening, and, you know, we have the data that shows it's working. But then a weird thing about a year ago started happening. People coming in, and we always ask them where they heard about us. And at first, they used to say, oh, you know, a friend told me, or I have a friend who drives an electric car, or whatever. Our Google AdWords, you know, they saw it on the internet. And then all of a sudden it changed. Everyone was saying, oh, my dealer sent me. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, my dealer told me to come here, that you would have the car and I could try it. And so what's happened, and you might have heard about this, especially since the rebates were cut, that what happened was the rebates got cut, the automakers started not selling the cars, and because Quebec has what they call a ZEV mandate, Quebec has like got a policy that they have to sell a certain percentage of EVs, the cars went to Quebec. And suddenly Ontario's dealers didn't have too many cars. Even they say, oh, well, Ontario's not selling any. I was like, well, we don't have any. We would love to sell some, but we don't have them on the lot. So there was a real shortage of EVs on the lot. And so what was happening was, someone would go into a dealership and the dealer wouldn't have it. And so the dealer doesn't want to lose the sale to another dealer, right? So they don't want to send them down the road to a different dealer. So they say, well, we know Plug and Drive has it. Go over there, do the test drive, and if you like, you can just come back and order it. And so we found a way that we're actually helping the dealers sell the EVs when there are no EVs. So they order it and it takes some time, but they're able to get it. So this right now in this market where there's a big gap and there isn't enough vehicles on the lots, we're kind of filling an important role, which we didn't really expect. So that's been an interesting outcome. So just to give you some data, you know, it's always good to show what are the stats. And at the center, we've had, so far since we opened, almost 23,000 people through the doors. And we've given almost 9,000 test drives. And we think those numbers are pretty damn good, especially considering what happened with the rebates. And so we ask people, we survey them, we ask them to do a little survey, and then they take a test drive, and then a little more survey. And so we ask them, you know, if they're interested in buying an electric car before, and then we ask them if their attitude has changed at all. And, you know, very high percentage of people say, yes, they're more likely than they were before to choose an electric car. And you're like, well, that's good. Like, they're more likely than before. Excellent. But do they really? You know, it's easy to say on a survey, like, yeah, I'm more interested than I was. But we weren't sure if they really did. About 35% will opt in. And what I mean by that is, like, they'll be agree to let an automaker contact them. So let's say they drove a Bolt. They'll say, sure, I agree to let GM contact me. That's 35%, so a bit more than a third. Pretty good. But then we're like, how many of those people really do go and then buy it? You know, so we started tracking that. And our last study showed that 38% of the people had actually bought the car within 6 months of visiting us. So we're finding that it really is working. You know, it's people have a lot of concerns, and they're valid concerns, and they just need some help. And, you know, my dream is that a few years from now, maybe it'll be more years than I was hoping, but 5 years from now or whatever, that a plug-in drive wouldn't be needed. You know, that the dealers will be so good, and they'll be selling these cars just like they sell gas cars, and they'll have all the information, and you wouldn't need an organization like ours to fill in that gap. But for now, you really, really do. And then, of course, we found that a very high percentage of people, if they had not bought the car, said they would within 1 to 2 years. And I think that makes sense, right? Because not everyone who's coming into the center is like, they might have a lease that has another year, they might not be ready for a new car, and so it will take some time. So we'll follow up with people again, you know, a year from now, and see if these numbers are different. We also do the road show, which I mentioned. We brought it to Hamilton a couple of times, where we bring cars and chargers out to people. And now, this is a little bit different crowd. People who visit the center are what we call EV ready. Like, they came for a reason. They already know a little bit. It's like, convince me. You know, they're ready to be convinced. Whereas at an event, a public event, you get a wider cross-section of people. It's more general public. And so you get a lot of people maybe who've never heard of an EV, they didn't know anything. And so it's more awareness raising, which is good. Like, you have to do it, and then they might start down a path. But usually you're not going to get the kind of conversions out of this. You know, you're gonna start people thinking, but you're not going to have people like go from this kind of event to suddenly buying the car. It's very unusual. But we do reach a lot of people this way, and then we find they start tracking us, and we start helping them later on. We also have done a lot of consumer outreach research to really understand those barriers. And if I were to sum up, and if you're really into the research, we have some studies on our website. But if I were just to boil it down, even today, and I've been sort of working on this full-time since 2011, but part-time even since about 2008, and I would say we still have a long way to go on consumer knowledge. Unfortunately, it's just not in the public domain enough. People don't understand the benefits of the vehicles, understand the total cost of ownership, which we'll talk about. Now, when I say total cost of ownership, we're used to looking at the sticker price of a vehicle. You see that sticker on the car, that's the price, and you might compare it to another car, that's the price, and you're not thinking about, well, how much is the gas and maintenance going to cost me year over year in the future? With EVs, that's where they really shine, right? Because the cost of electricity is so much less than gas. It's about a quarter or a fifth of the price, and so that total cost of ownership is so much lower. So the challenge is to persuade people, pay now to save later. And that is not an easy sell. And, you know, EVs have had a little bit higher sticker price than the equivalent gas car. And so people say, well, it's too expensive. But that's because they're not doing the math of how much they're going to save year over year. And this is the thing that people really need to hear, because otherwise they wouldn't choose it.
For more information about Plug and Drive, visit www.plugndrive.ca, Plug and Drive. For more information about the McMaster Center for Climate Change, visit climate.mcmaster.ca, MCMASTER.